So I think you have to really know what you own, especially with these really frothy names that have done so well.
Dispersion is going to be extremely high, and just buying the index and just riding that is not going to work as well as it has the last 3 years.
Right now, we're having the largest credit card delinquencies since 2011 and the highest auto loan delinquencies ever recorded. So that makes me really concerned about the average consumer and what they might be able to spend going into 2026.
On this episode of Early Bird, what will be the biggest investing themes of 2026? What will be the big 2026 winning stocks and losing stocks? Joining us today on the podcast to discuss these topics are Michelle Connell, founder and chief investment officer of Portia Capital, Adam Coons, chief investment officer at Winthrop Capital Management, and Sean Lovison, founder and lead planner at Purpose Built Financial Services. If you're an investor looking to stay on top of the latest market trends, then you're listening to the right podcast. This is Early Bird, and I'm your host, Stephen Lerner. Before we get to today's discussion, let me tell you how you can save time and beat the market through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter featuring commentary about the latest trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and equity crowdfunding. Early Bird is designed to help individual and non-professional investors stay on top of all of the critical investing trends. The newsletter is 100% free and is sent to your email box each weekday morning. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, today's discussion. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Early Bird Podcast. 2026 is shaping up to be an exciting year in the stock market. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest potential winning stocks and sectors, as well as losing stocks and sectors potentially in 2026. And we've assembled a great roundtable of experts who were able to give us some predictions about what could be ahead of us in the coming year. Sean, I'll start with you. Looking at the 2026, what do you think will be the biggest investment themes for this new year?
So the big two ones for me are the continuation of the international outperformance super cycle. I mean, the last 15 years, international has really lagged behind the S&P 500, and it's been kind of moved away from as an investment. And I just see, with the U.S. dollar declining 9% in 25, the value of those dollars of international earnings is going to increase, as well as it's still relatively underpriced compared to the S&P 500. You know, the PE ratio is about 30% lower than what you see in the S&P 500. So I think that that's going to be a big driver of growth. And then my secondary theme that I'd just like to bring up is just the AI implementation. You know, we're going to see the agentic shift moving from chatbots to actually autonomous agents, and actually seeing some of this AI coming to a productive result.
Oh, yes, AI was big last year. It's been big these past few years, and it could very well be a big theme in 2026. Michelle, what are some of the big investment themes that you think will be on the horizon in 2026?
Well, as a former semiconductor analyst back in the day, I'm going to agree with Sean. I think the build out of AI, or the non-build out, depending on what you believe, I think all eyes will be on that area. It was interesting today, a lot of those names really bounced back versus what they had done in December. A lot of the chip names had been down big, and now I think everybody's like, oh, let's get back into those. We'll see if that remains to be the case. And I also think there's going to continue to be issues with the dollar, and so that also leans towards international, but I like EM because they have a population that's growing versus the developed world, and their technologies in some countries may start to catch up. So there might be some themes there.
So once again, international and AI, two interesting themes that we saw from the previous year, especially AI took off again, and maybe we'll see them again in 2026. Last but not least, Adam, are you predicting similar investing themes for 2026? Anything else that you think that could be a potential investing theme in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, I think AI is obviously that is going to be a theme in one way or another. I agree with Michelle that the kind of infrastructure, whether it's there or not, is going to be a big part of how that plays out. But looking elsewhere, I think you want to look at how AI starts to actually transform or, you know, change productivity. In particular, the healthcare sector is a place to look. Had some underperformance in different pockets throughout the year in the S&P 500, and I think you want to look there. There is some, you know, when you're looking for a place in the S&P 500 to find value, I think that's a good place to start. In particular, when you're trying to play, for us, we're looking at kind of a more defensive tilt in 2026. So that obviously plays into that as well. And then secondarily, I would look at the financial sector, in particular regionals, regional banks, massive underperformance this past year in 2025. And I think, you know, one of the, I guess, so far disappointments for those measuring the Trump administration would be that there was a big expectation of deregulation that really was not part of the narrative in 2025. And I think that will start to rise in 2026. And if that's the case, if you start to see deregulation, the ability to see an increase in M&A, that would benefit regional banks significantly. So those are just different pockets we're looking outside of just the traditional AI tech type themes that are, we agree with those will still be there, but, you know, trying to find other places.
It's a good take, financials. And it kind of leads us to the next question. Now that we discussed the biggest investment themes on the horizon for the year, AI being one that everyone can almost agree on, I'd like to know what kind of stocks and sectors should investors take a look at as potential winners for 2026? Obviously, based on everyone's responses, it sounds like AI might fall into that. Adam, you also mentioned financials. So what stocks, what sectors you think could be big winners, Adam, in 2026?
Yeah, like I said, I think you want to look at the regional banks, something like a PNC, KeyBank. I think those are the type of banks that I would start to look at. We're not ready to invest in them yet. Like I said, there's part of that theme is dependent on Washington shifting its narrative away from just tariffs and those kind of things. So it's not an all in. It's just we got to pay attention. I think that's probably something different. And in particular, investors are kind of using the crystal ball method of investing, which we disagree with. This is one of those regimes where I think you can wait and see what is actually happening before you make your decisions. You're not going to be late because there may be some chaos in that. So I think kind of waiting to see that we start to see deregulation in the financial industry before you start to move, there will be enough time. So like I said, looking at the smaller banks, also those that have a decent amount of exposure to commercial real estate, those are some of the ones that like a U.S. bank have been, you know, really underperforming. But part of that underperformance is because the commercial real estate market has just been in this cloud of uncertainty. And a big part of that is the fact that commercial real estate is heavily dependent on floating rate debt. And the fact that the Fed has started to move rates down, that's actually one area they do have more impact. They don't really impact residential mortgages because, you know, that's dependent on 10-year type interest rates. But when you look at the commercial space, it is actually really dependent on SOFR, which is, like I said, that short-term interest rate that the Fed can manipulate. And the fact that we've seen that decline over 150 basis points over the past year, that leads us to be more bullish on commercial real estate because you'll start to see those coupon payments reset lower. That kind of helps support that market that people have been questioning and can unlock it. So looking at financials, banks that have kind of been beaten up because people didn't want to invest in commercial real estate, now is probably a good time to start looking at it.
Okay, so commercial real estate, regional banks, these are two interesting places to look. As always, to listeners, please speak to a financial advisor before making any decisions, such as what to invest in. But these are two interesting sectors to look at. Sean, What kind of stocks and sectors do you think investors should look at as winners potentially in 2026?
So it's interesting that Adam mentioned pharma, because that is one of the industries I think is really going to benefit from the implementation of AI. You know, one of the major companies that was just being bid upon was Medsera, and they're like an AI implementation drug development company. And it was between Novo and Pfizer. Pfizer ended up winning that bidding war for that drug. But I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for these pharma companies to develop drugs using AI. And so I have Pfizer as one of my winners with relatively low PE ratios right now. There's still value out there. And, you know, this GLP-1 industry is still very, very, you know, new. I mean, it's going to make a lot more progress once more of these pharma companies come out with pills that people can take. And I just see that as an extremely, you know, huge growth market. So that's one of my big winners. The other one is just kind of doubling down on the international as well as what Michelle said with the foundries. And this is kind of cheating. It is an ETF, but like Colombia Emerging Markets Core, excluding China. And the reason why I'm picking that ETF is because of its two largest holdings, which is Taiwan Semiconductor and Samsung Electronics, which are both building foundries, both in the United States and all over the world, to kind of mitigate some of the Taiwanese exposure that we do have. So I see opportunities for both of those to expand in the future. And that's where I would pick to be my winning stocks, I guess.
Ooh, interesting. So pharmaceuticals and then that ETF that with the international exposure, some interesting opportunities coming down the pike. Last but not least, Michelle, we've talked about some really good potential winning opportunities for 2026. Are there any other winning stocks and sectors that investors may want to look at this year?
I think Sean and Adam both made some really good points. I do a lot of private investing because before I moved to Texas, I worked for a private equity firm in Chicago. So a lot of what I do in that part of my portfolio also impacts my public side as well. And so last year was a dismal year for commercial real estate, and you just saw a lot of write-downs, huge. And so I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities in that area. REITs got crushed last year as well. So those might look interesting, even though I'd be a little bit careful. I'd probably lean more towards the banks. Deregulation, there was a few ETFs that took advantage of that last year. They did okay, but not great. I'm hoping that there is more deregulation and those stocks start to do better. In terms of implementation for AI, you're seeing on the healthcare side, which Sean mentioned, for instance, I've invested in a company that does a handheld device with an AI chip that Samsung just took a huge investment in. So I think you're going to start seeing more things that are announced for AI that are going to impact the other industries. We'll see more on the consumer side. I think it's called Grub Market next year is probably going to have, or this year going to have their IPO, where you'll be able to, the bigger grocery chains and retail chains will be able to get their groceries and produce at a prime condition at a low price. So I think we're going to see also more IPOs announced that involve the implementation of AI this year. It was supposed to happen last year. A lot of them have been talking to their bankers and been filing for those IPOs. So I think you're going to see some interesting implementation of AI that are going to help many sectors this year.
Great points, Michelle. 2026 is shaping up to be a good year for IPOs, certainly better than 2025. And AI startups are a big part of that. So we talked a bit about some of the winning stocks and sectors you might want to keep an eye on for 2026. Let's wrap up today's discussion by talking about the flip side of that, some of the stocks and sectors you may want to avoid this year, especially if the trends don't favor them in 2026. Michelle, I'll start with you. What are some of the potential losing stocks and sectors in 2026 that investors might want to think about staying away from?
For the majority of last year and probably the previous year, if you just said AI, the stock was going to do well, right? Whether it was a company that had a long track record and a new track record. Towards the end of the year, became a little bit more focused on financials, cash flow, debt levels. So if you're looking at a company and it's done gangbusters and they're estimating huge revenues, also look at the debt side and the competition side. I'm going to give an example. Last year I participated. It was luck. I'm not going to say it was smart because it'll never happen again. I invested in CoreWeave before they went public. That stock did great, okay? And then you saw the kind of circular AI, you know, everybody's getting in on it. There's all this borrowing, and it just didn't feel right. And so I took most of my money off the table. So I think you have to really know what you own, especially with these really frothy names that have done so well. So I guess that's the CFA side of me, and I'd also say, you know, beware of things. Bitcoin had a dismal end of the year, and I don't know if that's going to turn around either. We'll see. Again, cash flows.
You're right.
Or lack of.
Looking under the hood at these companies, yes. and checking out their financials, does it really shape up to mean something? CoreWeave was a good example. Bitcoin, another good example. Adam, what are some of the big losing stocks and sectors that you think we might see in 2026?
I want to piggyback on what Michelle said. I think, we saw towards the end of the year, what I would say is the signs that it's a healthy market, and that is the fact that it was able to actually sell off some of these stocks. And the other one is Oracle. And, you know, that's one of these overhyped, over-indebted companies that it ran up, but the fact that it sold off the way it did, like I said, I think that when everything else never necessarily didn't, you know, when Google's hitting all-time highs after Oracle falls down, I think that shows that the market is not just jumping into everything that has AI. And, you know, we were laughing about it kind of this time last year when every earnings call, every CEO found a way to implement AI into their earnings call, right? It was the meme. And now you're seeing that investors are actually deciphering the difference. And I think that is one of the big things, you know, there kind of, as we headed towards the end of the year, there was a lot of speculation on, is this a bubble? Is this like, you know, the dot-com bubble? You know, famously Michael Burry put out some pieces on that too. And the reality is it's not the same. And I think Oracle is such a big stock and a big, you know, debt issuer, showing that the market can actually parse the difference between that and something like Alphabet is really important to pay attention to. And that plays into, I think, you know, the big part, like I said, to continue to piggyback on what Michelle said, is next year is going to be even more a stock picker's market. This year was to some degree, especially like I said, as you headed towards the end of the year. But I think, you know, dispersion is going to be extremely high. And just buying the index and just riding that is not going to work as well as it has the last 3 years. I think, you know, it's likely that markets will continue to be up. But I think if you want to outperform, it's going to come from some work. And you've got to be able to know the difference. And for us, we're taking a more barbelled approach, in particular with AI. I know that's what we're talking about a lot right now. But is, you know, looking at the hyperscalers that have a really robust business model, that AI is just enhancing it. And then down the chain, we're looking at building out kind of a basket of smaller positions. And I think that's one of the really important things for one of your listeners to think about is, you know, position sizing according to volatility. There's a big difference between something like Alphabet that is a multi-multi-trillion-dollar company and trying to go out there and pick these high flyers that, you know, might triple, but they might also be a zero. So I think building a basket of individual names that maybe they're a one-trick pony, but like I said, position sizing is important there. And so what I mean by that as far as the losers is that there will be many more losers in 2026. I don't know what they're going to be, but it'll be those that have excess valuations that, like Michelle said, the balance sheets start to matter, the valuation starts to matter, and overall, just that one business model isn't sustainable. Outside of that, I think you want to look at some of the consumer stocks. I think we'll have, some difficulty this next year. Another place that I think you want to pay attention to, it's going to be more of a stock picker's market. You know, when you've got companies like Costco and Walmart that have just, any of us that, have been in this for a while, to say that Walmart's trading at a higher PE than Alphabet is crazy. And it's no longer a defensive stock, unfortunately. And so I think you need to be careful there with tags and labels where you just think that you're getting something that you're really not. Like I said, so when you look at Costco's trading at 40 times, Walmart 30 times, they're not staples like we traditionally think of them. And so I think you just want to be careful and not just go into everything. It's not the way it used to be, taking that mantra. You just got to be careful, do your research. And if you're not going to do that, then I think you do want to be passive and just kind of get an advisor and not worry about it. But if you're going to try to actually pick stocks, you need to do a lot more work.
Yeah, 2026 could be a very different year. It could be a stock picker's market. Great analysis, Adam. Appreciate it. Sean, close us out. What are some of the big losing stocks and sectors that you think we could see in 2026?
Well, I'm going to continue to build on what Adam mentioned with the consumer. I mean, right now, just looking at their debt load, it makes me pretty nervous. Right now we're having the largest credit card delinquencies since 2011 and the highest auto loan delinquencies ever recorded. So that makes me really concerned about the average consumer and what they might be able to spend going into 2026 and, specifically things that they can kind of put off. So, the auto manufacturers are one of the number one things that kind of make me the most nervous. There was a huge run up in both GM and Ford over the course of 2025, going up 57 and 35% respectively. And I just don't see that even holding through 2026 the way the consumers are. But I would be leery of anything in the consumer discretionary market, and the more luxury it is, the more I would be, nervous about it. So that is just one area that I would definitely stay away from in 2026.
Thank you again to Michelle Connell, Adam Coons, and Sean Loveson for sharing your insights on stocks. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's discussion. We'll be back next week for another episode of Early Bird. Have a great day.